Today I wish to talk about the conversion of Paul. In fact, as you will remember, I started this the last time I spoke, and there was so much material that I couldn't finish my talk at that time. And so today's talk is the completion of the conversion of Paul. So just to summarize what we learned last time, the conversion of Paul was a landmark event in the early church. Paul's contribution included the spread of the church through Europe and the writing of most of the New Testament. Paul's conversion and subsequent life change was brought about by direct revelation from Jesus and was not learned from the other apostles. This means that the teaching in his letters and the insights that we can gain from Paul about the gospel message is a precious gift directly from God for all Christians. And as we look at the effects of the gospel in his life, this provides us a great lesson for all of us. Let's just summarize what changes we saw in Paul's life last time. We saw him change from a proud Pharisee to a humble follower of Christ. He changed from a person who used to force people's beliefs to a person who championed freedom and liberty. He changed from a person with a closed mind to one with a mind that was open to reason, to being able to admit his wrong. He changed from a person whose preaching was man-centered to Christ-centered. After his conversion, he had respect for his opponents, where he had previously only hated any opposition. He changed, we find, from a motivation of hate to a motivation of love. And we saw how fitting it was that Jesus should finally gain a convert from the Pharisees, the one group who opposed him the most during his earthly ministry, and who finally brought about his death on the cross. So today we will go on and explore some more areas where Paul miraculously changed his character. And I say miraculous because all conversion is a miracle of God. We will look at how Paul changed from harshness to kindness and courtesy. Before his conversion, Paul was a strict Pharisee, keeping all those multitudinous rules of that sect of the Jews. We read from the pen of inspiration, "The great apostle Paul was firm where duty and principle were at stake. He preached Christ with great boldness, but he was never harsh and impolite. He had a tender heart and was ever kind and thoughtful of others. Courtesy was a marked trait of his character, and this gave him access to the better class of society." As we said, before his conversion, he was like the Pharisees, and we are told that Satan led them to totally disfigure God's character. We are told that before Jesus came to this world, the Pharisees had burdened the law of Jehovah with needless exactions and traditions, and God was represented as severe, exacting, revengeful, and arbitrary. He was pictured as one who could take pleasure in the sufferings of his creatures. These were the very attributes that belonged to the character of Satan, and the evil one had represented these very attributes as belonging to God. As Paul did, so we should represent in our lives the character of God. If we have a wrong concept of God, if we believe that He is severe, harsh, exacting, vengeful, arbitrary, we will become likewise. That is why we must have a true concept of God. Paul gave up many of his Jewish and Pharisee ideas, and one of these was circumcision. Let's look in his epistle to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapters 7 and 8. And here we read in chapter 7 and verse 19 that he says, he's talking about circumcision. And here he says, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But what counts is keeping the commandments of God. Another point on which he had the same idea was in chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4. And here he's talking about the eating of food offered to idols. And here he says, for we know that an idol is nothing. So, Paul saying circumcision is nothing, an idol is nothing. Paul could see that some issues were nothing. In other words, unimportant, of little consequence. Because he felt that circumcision was nothing or unimportant, so he was able to freely mix with both Jew and Gentile and do so with a clear conscience. Most Jews couldn't do this. They just had this strong feeling against those who are uncircumcised. Paul didn't. He could freely mix with Gentiles. But even though he felt circumcision was nothing, he was strongly against Jewish Christians who would force it upon Gentile Christians. He was strongly opposed to the compulsion, the idea of forcing. One of his principles was, let everyone be fully persuaded in his own mind. And we find this in Romans 14 and verse 5. Let everyone be fully persuaded in his own mind. What was he saying this about? Once again, here he was talking about food offered to idols. He couldn't see any problem with food offered to idols because an idol is nothing. But, all the same, he would not want to offend a brother who felt it was wrong. If one of his brethren would not take food offered to idols, then, to avoid offending him, he would do the same whenever he was with them. He could avoid such meat because he knew he was his brother's keeper. And his love for his brother is something that overrides his belief or his knowledge that an idol is nothing. Further on in Romans 14, we read, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 14 verse 17. food and drink are not the major issues in the great controversy. Paul's words remind us about the words of Jesus in Matthew 23 and verse 23, where Jesus rebuked the Pharisees because they paid tithe of mint and rue and cumin while neglecting the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Jesus was saying, the point of tithe is that we pay it to keep ourselves from becoming selfish and also to support the kingdom of God. It was not an exercise in how exact you could be. It was important to Jesus that we keep minor issues minor. Next, let us look at how Paul treated people. Paul approached people where they were. To the Jews, I became as a Jew. Where do we read that? 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 20. To the Jews I became a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. We are told that Paul adapted his methods according to who he was trying to reach. In the book Evangelism, it says, to the Gentiles he preached Christ as their only hope of salvation. But, and this is where we want to stress today, but he did not at first have anything definite to say upon the law. He left out talking about the law for a while. But after the hearts were warmed with the presentation of Christ as the gift of God to the world, after they comprehended the costly sacrifice of Jesus, manifesting the love of God, and he showed that love for all mankind, both Jew and Gentile, that they might be saved by surrendering their hearts to him, then, when their hearts were melted and subdued, and they gave themselves to the Lord, then he presented the law of God as the test of their obedience. This was the manner of his working, adapting his methods to win souls. Would Paul have done this before his conversion? No. He was indiscriminate in putting Christians into prison and death. But now, each soul was special, and he worked for each one individually. He tailored his approach to each one. Every soul is unique, and that's the lesson for us. Our manner of working for souls must be flexible. You know, we sometimes think, when we read 1 Corinthians 9:20, he says, to the Jews I became as a Jew. Why did he say that? Wasn't he already a Jew? Well, the fact is, he was a Jew by birth. But his life had been so turned around that now I think he had forgotten how to be a Jew. And he had to stop and think. The change in Paul was so great. Where he had previously persecuted God's people, after Damascus, he put his whole heart and soul into preaching Christ. He denounced his previous way of life. He was fully converted. We are told that there never lived a more self-denying, persevering worker. The blessings he received, he used to bless others. He lost no opportunity of speaking of the Savior or helping those in trouble. So we see that he worked to help people in trouble. He worked to bless others. And we can contrast this to the Pharisees, whom Jesus described as putting burdens on men's shoulders, but will not move them with one of their fingers. Paul refused to exalt self. Let's look in 1 Corinthians 1 and we'll see how the Corinthians made a big mistake. You remember the story of Apollos. He was a great preacher that Paul first met up with when he was in Ephesus. And after discussions with Apollos, he was able to give him the full gospel truth. And Apollos became a great preacher, just about as great as Paul, actually. And Apollos went to Corinth, where Paul had already been. And then what happened was that some people decided, well, I'm a fan of Paul's. I follow Apollos. I follow Peter. And this is what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 1. And he says in verse 11, "It's been reported to me that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Paul and Apollos were wrongly made objects of hero worship in Corinth. And Paul was strong in rebuking this attitude. He says in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians and verses 21 to 23, "So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's." In other words, all the good qualities of Paul, Apollos, and Peter are in Christ. And Christ is greater because it's in him that we are saved. Today we would say that Paul avoided politics in churches. And what I mean by politics is the setting up of factions. And the factions always follow people rather than Christ. Paul and Apollos were in harmony, but Apollos was disappointed that the church had taken sides. He didn't like to have preference shown to himself. He didn't encourage it. And he left Corinth. When Paul afterwards urged him to revisit Corinth, he declined. Such is the problem with politics. Paul recognized that the church was in danger of splitting into factions. He urged unity. We have the same problems today. The following of people. Some follow Dr. Ford. Some follow Doug Batchelor. Some follow Joe Cruz. I'm not saying that you can't have favorite speakers, because we're all different. And some speakers will appeal to certain people and not to others. But there's always danger in putting our trust in man. Remember, we are told that some prominent stars in the church will fall. So it's not wise to trust some star preacher. Especially dangerous is it to trust some and distrust others. Remember that Satan always mixes truth with error. And that means that some of what Satan says is truth. So we may not like certain preachers, but we can't disbelieve everything they say just because they said it. We need to have discernment. We need to discern when they preach truth and when they preach error. Don't throw away gems of truth just because Satan mixes it with error. Learn to discern between truth and error. Remember in John chapter 7 how the Pharisees reasoned. John chapter 7 and verses 47 and 48. Remember, the Pharisees were arguing among themselves. Have you also been deceived? Have any of the authorities or the Pharisees believed in him? They believed, they judged truth by who was promoting it. This was the way the Pharisees reasoned. Because nobody notable had believed Jesus, they didn't want to listen to him. Paul didn't judge truth by who promoted it. He could discern error by examining it in the light of Scripture. He challenged the apostles and even Barnabas when they made a mistake in refusing to eat with Gentiles. But note this, even after he had this public disagreement with the Apostle Peter, he didn't lose respect for him. He continued to support the apostles in Jerusalem, and he listened to them when he went there. Peter likewise, even though he had a disagreement with Paul, he still acknowledged the letters of Paul as important for the church. We are told that throughout his ministry, Paul had looked to God for direct guidance. At the same time, he had been very careful to labor in harmony with the decisions of the General Council at Jerusalem. Even in Paul's disagreements, he did not let this affect the gospel work. After he had his split with Barnabas, we find that they actually increased the outreach teams. Where there was one team, Paul and Barnabas, now there was Paul and Silas and Barnabas and Mark. So it actually increased the amount of outreach. And in Philippians 1:15, we read something else that's interesting. Philippians is a letter that was written when Paul was a prisoner in Rome. And here in Philippians 1 and verse 15, he is saying that his that because he was imprisoned, some of the other brothers had become confident and were more bold to speak the word. That's in verse 14. And then in verse 15 he says, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. So for some reason, because Paul was in prison, people were encouraged to preach. Maybe because now they didn't have to worry about
being as good a preacher as Paul. But even so, what does he say in verse 18? What then? So what? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. You see, he realizes that some people had wrong motives for preaching the gospel, but he was still happy that they were preaching it. He wasn't jealous. He didn't care that he was in prison, that he couldn't preach, just that the gospel was being preached. Next, we read about Paul being as wise as serpents. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 16. And we read here something quite unusual. He says, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did you see that? Paul is saying, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Now, guile is not usually thought to be a good thing. Let's look at what this means. You need not feel that all the truth is to be spoken to unbelievers on any and every occasion. You should plan carefully what to say and what to leave unsaid. This is not practicing deception. It is to work as Paul worked. He says, being crafty, I caught you with guile. There you are. There's the explanation to the verse. She goes on to say, you must vary your labor and not have one way which you think must be followed at all times and in all places. Your ways may seem to you a success, but if you used more tact, more of the wisdom of the serpent, you would have seen much more real results of your work. This was the guile with which Paul caught souls. He presented the truth in such a manner that their former prejudice did not arise to blind their eyes and pervert their judgment. We have mentioned Paul's humility before. Truly, his humility is an example to us. He had a very humble opinion of his own place in the Christian life. For example, in Philippians he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He speaks of himself as the chief of sinners. Yet, we sometimes forget that Paul was greatly honored by the Lord. He had been taken in vision to the third heaven and had there received revelations of divine glory, which he could not be permitted to make known. We are told, it is such workers that are needed in the cause of God today. The self-sufficient, the envious and jealous, the critical and fault-finding can well be spared from his sacred work. We say Paul was humble, but he does use strong language in his letters, especially when he points out wrong. However, he never uses it to uplift self. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 1. Remember, here he strongly condemns people who are preaching a different gospel from the one that he had originally preached. Now, he's not uplifting himself in calling it his own gospel, because he is including himself. Let's read what it says.
Galatians 1:8.
But even though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached unto you at the first, let him be accursed. So he's even including himself. If I preach a different one from what I was originally preached to you, let me be accursed. Paul was very humble, and this is not surprising, for he had met with God. So had Abraham, Isaiah, Daniel, and they all felt very small and sinful when they were in the divine presence. Because you meet with God, this is what makes you humble. Paul had a very realistic idea of himself. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10. And here we see how Paul has been criticized. And here he tells you himself. He's quoting from people who said something about him. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. Paul could take criticism. He doesn't even mind repeating what people say about him. People criticized him, and he would accept it. I don't mean he just meekly accepted it. He would defend himself if it was needed. But criticism was allowed. He did not seek to excuse his own wrongdoing or justify himself. He knew his weaknesses, and he accepted that he was weak in certain places. Especially was he conscious of the fact that he persecuted Christians before. He thought with horror of his own guilt in allowing himself to be so prejudiced. Now, perhaps the major asset that Paul brought to the early church was his outreach to the Gentiles. As we said before, he was free of the prejudice against Gentiles that most had. The apostles in Jerusalem, they had a hard time shedding their prejudices against accepting the Gentiles. So, Paul was the best person for God's task of going to the Gentiles as an apostle. We are told that even though Christ had commanded his disciples to go and teach all nations, but it was not until several years after the Lord's ascension that their minds were sufficiently expanded to clearly understand the intent of Christ's words, that they were to labor for the conversion of Gentiles as well as of the Jews. They clung tenaciously to the idea that the blessing of God was reserved exclusively for them. This had ever been the great sin of the Jews, which Christ on several occasions had rebuked. There is a lesson here for us. We are not prejudiced against Gentiles. After all, we are Gentiles. But we do have prejudices against other groups. Let's remember that these other groups are people we need to reach. Let's be like Paul, who became all things to all men, that by all means he might save some. In conclusion, I want you to look at something Paul said himself. Here we've been describing all the good points about Paul. and suggesting that we should be following him. But what does Paul himself say? 1 Corinthians 11:1. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. After all our talk of Paul as an example, remember, he points to Jesus as the one we should imitate. So just to close, I want to read this quote from Gospel Workers. What the church needs in these days of peril is an army of workers who, like Paul, have educated themselves for usefulness, who have a deep experience in the things of God, and who are filled with earnestness and zeal. Thank you.